Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Fozzie Bear. Did you get an answer to that, by the way?
No, I don't even remember why it was on my mind, but that's how most of those things work. Joe grabs them, and they live forever, and I have no idea what I'm talking about. Then, not right now, I got a grasp on what I'm saying moment. I mean, I think it makes sense. It's coherent. Fozzie Bear, no clue.
Nothing comes to mind.
No.
Joining us now on, sadly, joining us now on the Wester Hotline, our friend Therese Paler of Yahoo. You can find Therese on Twitter at Therese Paler, TREEZPAYLOR. Therese, we heard you were around this week.
Excuse me, what did you say? I can barely hear you.
Sorry, we heard you were around this week. You were in the area.
Yeah, I was in there for a couple days. Spent some time checking out the Bills, seeing what's going on out there, man. So I like the Bills. Got the Bills finishing second in the AFC East.
Second is the best we can ever hope for, it seems. It's kind of a tough life.
Right. Yeah, no kidding, right? The good news is that at some point, Brady and Belichick are going to have to go, and then the division will be open. So
that's what they keep telling us.
Got to hold on for a little bit longer.
Right. They keep telling us that.
It's been since 2001.
Yeah, right?
I mean, my God, Therese, I don't know what you were doing in 2001. We were not doing
college.
This together yet.
You were in college.
College, right.
Actually, no, I wasn't even in college. I was in high school.
Right, yeah. Right.
Wow. Well, they were there together then.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good year. We'd all agree. That's a good year if that happens.
That is a good year. Yeah.
So how do they do it? I mean, do you see this team being? I think most people, if you told most people they finished second, how do they answer? Like, what happened? What happened was most people would say defense was dominant and the offense was okay. I mean, it doesn't have to go like that, but I feel like most people would tell you that would be the recipe. No. What do you think?
Well, the good news is that it's not really far fetched in my opinion.
Yeah,
Miami's going to be terrible. So, I know that. That's not, an easy place to win sometimes because it's so warm there, but whatever. I think Miami's going to be bad. So then you got the Jets, and they've got their share of controversy. Stuff always seems to pop up there. I just like the drama-free Bills. Sue me, man. I'm in on Josh Allen. I believe in him. I think he's going to be good. I had a chance to sit down with him for, 30 minutes when I was up at the facility early this week, and, you know, he's somebody that is just likable. And when you turn on the tape, if people actually bother to, watch him play, he can, do stuff. He can, make plays. And look, the accuracy is not, I got it. The accuracy is not great. But in today's NFL, it's just so important for your quarterback to be able to make a play when things break down. And, by any measure, Josh Allen has that. So I like that. And they've surrounded him with some talent, and Sean McDermott knows what he's doing on defense. The Bills are going to be salty on that side of the ball. I just think that this is a team that plays hard is going to finish second.
Well, sounds good to me because that, of course, again, would definitely be a good year. You know, there's this balance, I think, Therese, with quarterbacks. I just was watching you in this clip on Twitter talking about quarterbacks who talk a good game, by the way. But, the balance, you take what Allen is capable of. And that includes running, which we saw. I mean, he ran for 8 touchdowns last year. That's rare for a quarterback to be able to do. But there's also a discipline that they want to instill. So, you know, Mahomes comes to mind. When we first started talking to you, it was about him. And, he's just sort of incredible at that kind of feel. Doesn't a coach kind of have to let the quarterback go to explore and create and be his best player?
Yeah, you don't want to sit up here and, nitpick and make the guy second guess himself. Now all of a sudden you've taken the creativity out of him. He can't do anything. That's the worst thing you can do. And I don't think the Bills are going to do that. Like, they understand, like, Josh Allen's greatest ability right now is his ability to create with his feet. So let him do it. And he's got an absolute hose. So let him do it. Like, let him do what he's good at. And remember, he's just a kid. So with time, this structure, playing within the structure, it'll come to him. But if the Bills just kind of let him be and let him create and slowly develop, this guy's going to be a good – he has Pro Bowl talent, you know? And I just think people were in such a rush to kind of kill the guy that it was easy to just kind of miss. Like, last year when he played, he was doing stuff.
You know, I think with him, I think the how they handle him and just how much they let him go, I think is a very important part of this to watch. Because, I'm not expecting – I mean, Mahomes was off the charts, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. So, like, I'm not – like, unbridled creativity, like, just, you know, the world is your canvas. I'm not quite there on Josh Allen. But I do think that – you'd be making a mistake trying too hard to rein him in, because otherwise why draft him? Like, if you just want someone to manage the game for you, then you don't draft him seventh overall. You don't draft this guy seventh overall. Maybe you draft somebody else seventh overall, but not that skill set.
Yeah, and to be clear, like, you guys know, like, hey, Mahomes is a completely different deal. Okay, like I told you guys, I told your station within 6 months of that draft that the Bills had made a big mistake. Okay, so I'm also here to tell you that Josh Allen's not Mahomes. He's not going to be Mahomes. Just don't even that's not reasonable. Mahomes is generational. But I'm telling you, is that same guy who's been pretty consistent on that the whole time, he has Pro Bowl talent. He does. He could absolutely, if he continues to develop and gets good coaching, he can lead you on a deep playoff run. I believe in that. And I think a big part of that is managing his confidence, letting him do things that help him be confident, and letting his talent show. Let him be who he is as a player. And a big part of that is that creativity. The Bills would be doing him a massive disservice by trying to take that part of the game away from him. I don't think they are.
Well, one thing, Mahomes has obviously the talent and the skill. He also, an ace in the hole there is Andy Reid. And even though Sean McDermott came up under Andy Reid, I do not have Andy Reid here. I mean, I've got Brian Daboll, and it's year two, and we'll see. But, like, the creativity that the offensive coordinator provides, or the head coach who's the coordinator, like McVay and Reid and Nagy and these guys, man, I feel like if anything in the last 5 years has really hit me over the head, it's the value of those guys to scheme it up for these quarterbacks and make it make sense.
See, this is why I like talking to Buffalo Radio. You guys know football. You guys care about football. That's correct. Like, 100%, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, if a quarterback's going to make it, he'll make it not just on his talent, but on the organization he's been drafted to and the coaches – that he's being coached by. And it's up to Brian Daboll to help get the best out of this guy. 100%. But this is a career making opportunity for him. That's something you should remember. If you can, like, develop Josh Allen, he could be a head coach somewhere. You get what I'm saying?
It's a
huge opportunity with a guy this talented. Because in today's NFL, all you got to do is be around a young quarterback that develops to get a head coaching job. So, you know, that's one thing to keep an eye on, man. Like, this is a huge opportunity for Brian Daboll. I'm sure, you know, that's not lost on him. And, we're going to see how it goes. But you're right. The coaching aspect of it is important. It's important for Daboll to rise to the occasion there, too.
Yeah. Young quarterback or not, Adam Gase made his bones helping Peyton Manning, who was hardly young by the time he got hooked up with him, and he's ridden that into two head coaching gigs, even though he flamed out in one with a young quarterback, no less.
That's a question, how he got a second one.
Right.
That is a good question.
Yeah, and he got a second one, exactly, just like you said.
Yeah. With Terez Paylor. Hey, by the way, you mentioned remembering coming on with us to talk about Mahomes. We were talking about that last hour, that conversation. And what I was wondering is, because you were with Kansas City Star then, I think. And what was plan B for the Chiefs? So they make the trade with the Bills. And also Deshaun Watson goes two picks later. Like, do you know if Kansas City had designs on him, if they didn't get Mahomes, or just what their plan was?
I'd have to speculate, because I know they were as an organization 100% in to like getting as high as they needed to go to get Mahomes.
Okay.
So there's not a whole lot of talk about the second choice because everyone wanted it.
Okay.
But I think they did like Deshaun Watson a lot, and I'm pretty confident like they liked him enough where he like would have been the guy if they got scooped by by like another team from Mahomes. I think they would have done something similar to get Watson. I think, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay, yeah, they moved from 27 to 10, if I remember right, in that trade, and that's a big jump. They might have been talking above 10, and they might have thought too they could just keep going down for a while. I don't know. Like Patrick Mahomes didn't have to be a first round pick that night the way it was.
Yeah,
sounding.
You know what? Now that I think somebody told me that I trust that they wouldn't have gone up quite as high for Watson. But they would have traded up to get him. They wouldn't have gone to 10 to get Watson, but they would have tried to get him.
See,
I think that's
what a move that is. Like I loved that trade for the Bills, and Tre'Davious White is excellent.
Yeah,
like,
he's a good player.
They got White, and they got a first round pick the next year, and so I love that for them. But for Kansas City to have had Alex Smith, who had taken them to the playoffs. And, you know, you're trying to get that one more thing to be able to go farther. And instead, they draft a quarterback for the future. I mean, I don't mean it's crazy. It was just like, whoa. I mean, where's that stud pass rusher or somebody you were going to use that pick for to help me beat Pittsburgh? And instead, they do this. And look how good they look now. I mean, they traded way up, traded a first-round pick. Look how good they look.
Well, that's interesting. If you still like to trade for Buffalo, you must really believe in Josh Allen.
Well, I mean, I look at the draft as if nobody knows what's going to happen because I think that that's right. That's what history shows us. So if I can get an extra first-round pick, that team was just okay. If I can do – I was all for it. You know, I was all for it other years too when they did the opposite. But, like, I liked Lamar Jackson for the draft where they got Allen because he was way less expensive. So – you know, that's kind of how I look at the draft. I'd rather just not have to spend like crazy to get guys that, you know, you have to hope that they hit. And so that's what happened, though. That's the point. With the Chiefs, obviously, they hit a home run.
Yeah, they hit a home run. But Josh Allen's a good player, too.
So let's talk around the league a little bit, Therese. How about what's going on with the running backs and Elliott and Gordon holding out? You know, the way people talk about running backs now makes you wonder if teams just, it's not quite like this, but just don't care if their good running back stays away. Like, so where do you see it going?
I don't like it. Like, smart teams use running backs very effectively, right? So I do think this is a thing, though. Like, teams are, like, kind of de-emphasizing the position. Just because, like, you know, those guys age quicker than the other ones because of the physical toll. Like, I think this is just going to continue. Like, guys might continue to get taken early if they're a running back, but teams would be reluctant to pay them unless you're just Barry Sanders or Adrian Peterson or something. As somebody who's pretty old school who enjoys watching the game with running backs involved, it's not great. You know, think about the ways the Bills used, like, Thurman Thomas. Like, that was fun to watch. You know, Thurman could run, Thurman could catch. You know, he can run different types of run concepts. Like, that's great football. Like, the run game's a part of football. A run game's a part of the beauty of football. So I actually kind of hope that they tweak the rules and give defenses more of a fighting chance against the pass because I think that'll lead to the run again. And the run is a beautiful part of football.
Yeah, I find myself more and more, Therese, when this comes up with a guest like yourself wanting to mention that I feel everybody in the sport, like Ezekiel Elliott is probably not going to want for anything by the time his career is over. I mean, his health might be who knows what, but like he's going to be handsomely paid one way or another. But there is with what's happening with quarterback salaries and what's happened with receivers and cornerbacks and all these other positions that just keep going up and up and up to be in a position that you're, I mean, from the time, if you're really good, as a high school player playing running back, like you are getting smashed up 10 games a year, 15 games a year for 8 years before you start getting paid. And then as soon as you start getting paid, they're ready to replace you. Like it sucks, I think, for those guys.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Because, look, if you're really big time, you'll start as a freshman. That's 3 years in college. You come out immediately. You got the five-year rookie deal plus two franchise tags. I mean, theoretically, you could be taking punishment for 10 years before you see, you know, the massive, massive payday, which is patently unfair.
Right on. All right, so what else do you have? Like, are you just going to new cities all the time in your job at Yahoo?
Yeah, so I just finished up my camp tour. Buffalo was top 12 of 12. I haven't written my story yet. I encourage you guys to follow me on Twitter at Terez Paylor, Terez Paylor. You can follow more of my camp stories. And my Bill story, I think, could come out early next week. It'll be on Josh Allen. And I've also got a Kirk Cousins story coming, too. So, yeah, I travel a decent amount looking for interesting, dorky football stories, that type of deal.
Love it. What did you think of Cousins?
I think that they're doing a lot to, like, prop him up. So, like, they're definitely going to, like, they're going to use the play action to his benefit. He's comfortable with it. They brought in Gary Kubiak to really hammer it at home. You know, like, they're going to lean on the running game and lean on play action to make and the defense to try to make a Super Bowl run. I mean, it can work about once every, 8 years, 9 years that works, right? No, I'm actually not being. I'm like once every 9 years, like an above average quarterback gets hot in the playoffs and rides like a super good defense to like a Super Bowl. Like that happens.
Yeah,
that is an unfrequent occurrence, but it does happen. So that's what they're banking on, I think.
Yeah, right. It would be more likely in the NFC all these years because you don't have New England, right? So
yeah, But
Flacco might be who you're thinking about. Like that holds up, right? Okay.
Yep.
All right,
and then
right.
Before that, remember it was Trent Dilfer,
right.
And Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Like guys, like even a couple of the Eli Manning, even one of the Eli Manning ones was a little, you know. So
right, their team was about getting pressure on Brady. That's what that you know he made some throws, of course, but it was more like that they were able to handle the Patriot offense than it was what they did offensively.
Mm-hmm. All right, Therese, any questions for us?
No, I'm good, guys.
All right, thanks for your time.
Right,
Therese Paylor. I've been corresponding with some listeners about fantasy football today.
Oh.
They wrote a column about fantasy football. Mm-hmm. And I guess I could have asked Therese this, but one guy named Nate has a really good question. He's in a tough spot.
Oh, well, that's what am I here for?
All right, let me just exactly. Let me just put out there the bottom line here, not just so I'll spare you the format and all the details and the draft keepers and everything.
Right, I would have trouble sifting through all that.
He wants to know which pairing of players would you rather have on your fantasy team? Joe Mixon and Keenan Allen or Marlon Mack and Devontae Adams? So it's Mixon over Mack. And it's Adams over Allen, but by about the same range, maybe. So who would you rather have? Of the two pairs, who would you rather have?
Is Allen dinged up? Or is he not serious?
Ankle surgery, but supposed to be back by week one.
Back by week one, okay. I would say the Mixon-Allen.
You would?
Tandem. Yeah.
Easily for me, Mixon-Allen.
Is that right? Easily?
Easily. I will always take the better. If I have a choice between the grade A receiver and the grade B running back versus the grade A running back, I'm always going with the running back.
Hang on, I want to rewind. Allen and...
Did this get easier for you?
Who is the other guy? Allen.
Mixon.
Mixon, yes. No, I like that. I like Allen a lot, and I think Mixon, I think, is super talented.
Also, I'd be worried about every part of that Colts offense if Luck is not there week one. Like, maybe not as much as 2 years ago because their offensive line's better and like a lot of it's a little bit better, but I don't know how much I would trust any of it if Luck's not there.
That is the answer right now, I think. Marlon Mack is the problem right now. Joe traded me Marlon Mack in League of Hopes and Dreams, but
almost Andrew Luck.
And almost Andrew Luck. The Luck point is true. It seems right. It's a concern. And Mack doesn't catch the ball. Now, this might be a standard league. This guy might be in a standard league where you don't get the point per reception.
Okay.
And so that would be a factor for me, and I left that out. But Mac does not, if you're in a PPR league, Mac is different because He doesn't catch the ball. They have Nyheim Hines for that, even maybe Jordan Wilkins for that, perhaps, but it's not really Mac. So for me, that was really close. There was nothing easy about it.
Okay, well.
And I think Davante Adams is positioned to just have maybe the wide receiver one in the whole league.
You did have the knowledge of the non-PPR stuff, and that could have changed my answer because, you know, I study this stuff.
Yeah, I left that out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all
right. There you go, Nate. I think it's close. These guys don't. 803-0550 for your questions. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't think so. I never saw it that way. I saw it as the whole body of work from OTAs and camp. It all added up to whether you had it or not. I think at that point, and especially by the fourth game, I think a lot of decisions have already been made. Not that you can't sway anyone at that point, but for the most part, at that point, coaches and players have seen what you're capable of. And so there's a lot of guys still on the fringe. I think, especially with how much talent that we have, these last two games are going to be big. But from my perspective as a quarterback, every game was important to me, and I never elevated one more than the other.
Okay, Matt Barkley, that's kind of a thoughtful answer to a question about the preseason. Bulldog and I are different on this guy, at least as far as I know. I still think it's possible that Matt Barkley is good. Maybe we'll never know. That's what happens to a lot of these guys. They barely get a chance. They're not a high draft pick, and they barely get a chance to, you know, learn and play. So I still kind of think maybe he's good.
And I kind of think I already know that he's not.
You think you know that he's not?
I think I know that he's not.
Right.
It's important to emphasize, I think I know.
That's what all this is, isn't it?
Not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
All right, so that's Matt Barkley. Let's go to Eric on WGR. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
League of Shopes and Dreams. How do you handle trades? Because do you have a commissioner vote? Does everyone in the league vote? Because I'm sick of my league talking about collusion, and I wake up after a Sunday night game with 109 text messages about it. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. He did hang up. Usually people say that. They wait for us to hang up.
Yeah.
That guy actually, I heard a click. He beat us to it.
109 text messages.
It's an oddly specific number.
I loved it.
It feels like it, because it must be real.
Ah.
Like the one day you must have got up and like had 109 unread messages.
Maybe.
So otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could just exaggerate it like that.
I am happy to tell you what we do, and I strongly believe it's the right way. There's no veto anything. Nobody vetoes trades. If two people want to make a trade, they get to. Unless on one condition that isn't the case. And that is if the commissioner, in this case me, thinks it's collusion. Collusion is the deal breaker. And if you have collusion, you have a bigger problem than that just that one trade. You have a problem with the owners who would do that. If that's what you think. If you are in a league where you think there might have been collusion, or you believe you know that there was, you should quit that league. There are thousands of leagues. You should quit that league immediately and go into one where you don't have that concern. I think vetoing is treacherous because people can use their own agendas and, like, I'm going to vote against this trade because it helps my opponent or something. Like, it can be different motives. And really, you shouldn't ever need it. So in this Shopes and Dreams League, there have been a few trades that other people in the league could not believe. They could not believe a few of these trades. And I have talked to a couple people who expressed to me what is going on with this trade. I have said to them, I've defended it. I have said to them, it's actually good to have that. It rewards people who try to make trades because trades are fun and interesting, and I think a good league has plenty of trades. And I even think that, you know, the debate is good. because somebody in the league feels differently, and that's good. That's good in life. That's good in a league. It's sporting. It's interesting. So, I again, to wrap strongly, I believe you should not have vetoes, and if you do, why?
Yeah, the only thing you should ever need to get in the way of is if two people are trying to slant the results in some way by making a trade that's advantageous to one or both of them and hurts everybody else in some way, or just, yeah. And who, I mean, I don't know, you guys would know better than me. I mean, I don't really need to ask the rhetorical what kind of person would do that, because, like, lots of people do lots of stuff that just absolutely blows my mind all the time, you know, up to and including our president. So, like, I know there's all kinds of different people in the world, but, like, Jesus, you're going to cheat at fantasy football? I mean, just come on. You know, just cut it out.
Well, you know, may I say, like, cheating is an interesting word for that. I was in a league last year where there was a trade. I was not a part of it. And this league did have a veto system. They had a vote system for determining whether the trade would stand. And people in the league voted against it. Certain people did, not because they thought anybody was cheating, but because they thought it was so one-sided.
Mm.
And that's the kind of trade I'm describing for my league, that
right.
People thought it was just so one-sided. Why would this trade be agreed to?
So even though you can't see the collusion,
it wasn't accused of collusion.
Okay.
It was, oh no, this guy,
yeah,
who I think maybe the group felt was sharper than the other guy, maybe that was the opinion of the group, pulled one over on him. And I didn't even agree with that. I remember there was a long discussion about this trade, and I didn't really see it that way. I didn't think it was really that unfair or at all unfair. But the league, the vote was against it because they felt like the one guy was getting too much of an advantage from the trade.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's to somebody's credit if they can make a trade that really works for them like that. They should be allowed to make it.
If there is no threat of collusion, then I agree 100% with, like, what, how you said you do your thing. That's exactly how it should be. The rest of the members should not be allowed to protect. Nobody should be able to call the Carolina Hurricanes and go, hey, you should not trade Jeff Skinner for Cliff Poo and a third-round pick or a second, whatever it was. Like, you shouldn't do that. It's lopsided. Don't do it. No, if they want to do it, let them do it.
Well, people can
have a team. Let them do it.
People can say that to the Hurricanes. They can say that all they want.
Yeah.
But the trade happens if it's what the heart wants, and then the league has to live with it.
Right. Nobody should be able to stop them from doing it, is what I'm really saying. Not just call them or say, like, of course, their fans might have been like, what are you doing trading Jeff Skinner for that? But if they want to do it, no, the other teams in the league should not be able to call them and say, oh, hey, no, you can't trade Jeff Skinner to Buffalo for that.
And it wouldn't be calling them. It would be like voting against it.
Right.
Because they didn't think it was fair or something like that.
Yeah.
No, you don't need any of that. You really just don't. And if somebody in the league is perceived as being vulnerable in that way, then the person that gets them to agree to the move, you know, deserves the rewards. They were the one that took advantage of it. There's nothing sinister about that. It's competition. And I don't think that there should be a way to vote down a trade like that. Again, unless you got to think about, like, what is the person trying to accomplish? You know, I was in a league where I was accused of it once. This is a long time ago, and I was new to the league, and I traded a pitcher for a position player. And the commissioner called me. He's like, hey, I just wanted to hear your reason for doing it. And I said, well, I needed bullpen, and he needed a third baseman. And so that's why I did it. And I didn't appreciate at the time that I'd made a bad move, because the value of one versus the other was really toward the other. So he's like, okay. And if there's no, you know, he accepted my lousy defense for it.
Right.
And that was it, because I wasn't giving. The guy was a friend of mine who I traded with, and he's like, I probably wondered if I was, like, helping him out.
Uh-huh.
That you can't have.
Right. No.
You can't have that. You can't have somebody just like, all right, I hope you win the league, so here.
Right. I'm in last, so whatever.
Yeah, here, right.
I'll make an advantageous trade. Yeah, no, I would not. I don't think, you know, that's not in the best interest of the sport.
No, they have to want it. Right. Here's Steve with us. Hello, Steve.
Hi. You guys might have just just now discussed this, but my question was, is it popular or prevalent that someone that has a team that maybe isn't doing so well but has a good player might offer to trade a player to a good team in and at the end of the deal, you know, split the purse for the championship? Is that
You can't have that
happen.
You can't have that. No, that's collusion.
Okay, that's collusion. And
yes.
You've seen it happen in your time?
I don't know if I have. If somebody did that, they would probably want everybody else to not know it. So I don't know. I don't think that I can't give you an example of that, but you know, that's another reason to immediately get out of the league.
Are there typically checks and balances to protect against that?
No, you just you
league or
the way I see it, Steve, you trust the commissioner, you trust the leader to not have people who would do that. And if they do, if it happens, then you, as the commissioner, needs to address it. And, you know, whatever that means. But, you know, that would definitely be collusion, what you described. You can't, you know, I'm going to give you my good players, and then if you win, split the money. I mean, there are probably, thanks, Steve, there are probably lots of forms of that have occurred. But if I knew about it, I would run for the hills. Like, if that happened in a league I was in, I'd just be like, that's it, I'm out. And you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to have to quit. But you really can find another group. Shouldn't be too hard, right, Bulldog? That's what you did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're everywhere. No, actually, I mean, look, I'm without being jerky, like, you just the way you wrap that up, and you don't want to quit. I think if that were going on in something like that, I would want to quit, and I would want to make a show of quitting.
Okay.
Like, you got to be kidding me. Are you you're a joke. What are you doing over
fine.
Here?
Yeah, fine.
Like, light the whole thing on fire. Get out of here. I got no time for this.
I respect that. I'm too concerned with my, you know, I'm too, this is, goes back to the other day.
Okay.
I'm too concerned with what other people would say.
How you're going to be perceived.
I've heard that guy in the radio. He is mean or something, yeah. And I try very hard to, in like real life, not give anybody any reason to say that. Here's Travis next. Hi, Travis.
Hey, fellas, what's up?
What's up?
So I'm in a league. It's friends and friends of friends. I'd probably be the most advanced than a couple people and some kind of not great. So a couple years ago, Beckham gets hurt. It's a keeper league, so I trade for him, knowing I'm going to use him in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't rip the guy off or anything. He got guys that could play, you know, serviceable guys. And I in the veto system, and they veto it, so I'm not too happy. Later on in the league, they trade a kicker for Golden Tate. And nothing happens, and I'm looking at myself like I'm taking crazy pills, but I'm a D-bag if I say something about it. Like, it's just, you just get... crazy things.
Doesn't sound good.
But it's friends of friends, and I kind of feel bad, you know, saying anything or if I quit or.
Yep.
Like, that's just ludicrous.
Yeah, right. It doesn't feel good, but.
Here's.
You've got your principles.
So.
Yeah, thanks, Travis. Well, trading for an injured star in a keeper league is a great move. I mean, that should never be diminished. That's a great, that's an obvious and smart play. I'm in last. I'm going to try to see if I have an active keeper league. It's a whole different equation. If I'm in last and I have somebody really good but I'm not winning and he's older, and you have somebody who's really good in the future but he's not playing, that's an easy trade to make.
Evander Kane.
Right.
I'm terrible. He's hurt.
Exactly.
Great.
Right.
I'll have him next year. Thanks.
Brendan, hi. Brendan, you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi.
So I'm sitting here with my old man, and last season we had kind of a similar thing going on with the whole vetoing of trades and whatnot. And I traded with – we have a family league, so I traded my grandmother. Who was it? It was
I love how that sounded. I traded my grandmother. What did you get back?
the running back at the time. Who was the guy?
You traded your grandmother for Fournette?
No, I gave Fournette
I got it.
For Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And my father actually moved to have it vetoed because I was taking advantage of my grandmother.
And he is sitting next to you right now?
Yes, yeah, you're on speakerphone.
And did you strongly dispute that, or do you think you were actually guilty? Do you think your dad's charge had some merit?
No, he's full of crap. Listen, I had to quit.
No, this is what happened. Me and my brother, who were both in the league, made fun of him brutally. Threatened to veto the trade. The trade never got vetoed, but he quit and dropped all of his players to try to mess with the league. So he was ridiculed very hard for
that. So Brendan was kind of a baby about it.
Yes.
Okay.
I see how it is.
Well,
get your opinion on it.
You kind of were maybe trying to take advantage of her.
Are you kidding?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
No?
He offered to do her dishes for her, too.
That's a lie. That is a shame.
Okay, listen. Right. Brendan, you guys got to work this out. But I love that you called. Thank you. And Brendan's dad.
And grandmother, even though she wasn't on the
love
line.
Having grandma. Yeah, was
next,
she on?
Next time, get grandma in the car, too.
Yeah, why wasn't she?
We want it all.
Let's hear her take.
Let's loop her into this conference call.
Yeah, all right, cool. Sal coming up just after 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We have had the opportunity to have a player for the future that has never, ever complained. I've never heard in my personal visits with him first came in about woe is me. He has never complained, never missed a workout, and he's never quit, not one time.
Jerry Jones is talking about Jalen Smith, and he's doing that by talking to Ezekiel Elliott. He has never complained. Here's your money. I mean, that's just really wrong. But whatever, it's Jerry Jones. Here's Joe with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I've been commissioning Dynasty League going into the, I believe it's the 11th year now. And one thing that I discovered rather quickly when confronted with a situation of collusion or any possible owner or two owners or three up to no good is you have a hammer as a commissioner. First of all, we did not implement any veto process. It was all the trust was put into the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that hammer and you have to wield it, you use it and you take advantage of it the first time, as nasty as it is. And as much as you don't want to do it, and to the other guys that have the same integrity that you have in the league and want to see it go where it
right.
should be going,
they deserve it.
Taking notice of it.
Right. They deserve that from you.
But they put you to the test. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry, too. They deserve the other guys who are doing it right deserve that from the leader. Yep.
Yeah, and they're putting you to the test. And yep. you can feel it, and you got to do it.
Right.
But it sets the tone, and then not only that, it sets the trust. In the commissioner that he's going to handle it, no problem.
Right, yeah.
Time it comes up, it's actually much less stressful to deal with, and it's actually much easier. The first time, it isn't. And first time I had to do it was actually with a close family member, so that even made it even worse.
Was it right. Was it your grandma? You had to discipline her.
Right.
You had to kick her out of the league. You had to kick grandma.
No, look, you put that head on a post, and then everybody, I think, would then fall in line and respect the rules. That's, you know, that's how it should be. You know, I recognize it would be hard in that you're talking about personal relationships, close family member, like Joe is saying, and I can easily respect that, but like there's right and wrong, and, you know, look, I'm not Mr. Fantasy. I would be great at this job. Because yes. I would just look. Shut up.
You also don't very often have a problem,
right?
Not many of these leagues is there really ever a problem. I was in 16 leagues last year. I can think of one, and yeah. that was not my league. And that league had a vote, and they had a system, and I didn't agree with it. And I'm not in it anymore. That's it. That's just. Yeah. It's just not like it. It's a regular occurrence that. You know, you're going to have guys collude like that. If anybody's kind of at all serious about it, they know not to. They know that they wouldn't. Thank you, Joe. We're way late. The update, then Sal, here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.